Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio. Every week, Federal News Radio Executive Editor Jason Miller interviews CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Now, your host, Jason Miller.
My guest today is Greg Smithberger, the Chief Information Officer at the National Security Agency. Greg, welcome to this program.
Happy to be here.
Great always to catch up with the folks at NSA. You guys are doing great work, and considering that this is Cybersecurity Awareness Month, the timing hopefully is perfect. So let's start at the beginning. You're kind of new to NSA in the sense that you just became the CIO. Discuss your background a little bit and how you ended up becoming the CIO at NSA, and where else have you worked inside and outside of government?
Well, I'm new to the CIO role. I'm actually not new to NSA at all. I've worked at NSA for over 27 years in a variety of technical, operational, and managerial roles. Although most of my career has focused on NSA's foreign intelligence mission, I've also supported NSA's information assurance mission, worked with elements across the intelligence community, directly supported military operations, had a very diverse career, and most of that diverse career has focused on understanding the vulnerabilities in networks and communication systems, understanding how adversaries actually exploit those vulnerabilities to gain access to sensitive information, and how those adversaries can be blocked and frustrated. So I've managed a variety of operational efforts. I've managed development efforts. I've managed 24/7 activities sort of across the NSA enterprise for the last 27 years.
Very interesting. So you've been cyber, which is obviously a key role that NSA plays. How did you end up falling into, if you will, the CIO role? I mean, was this your plan from the beginning, or did someone come to you and say, hey, Greg, you'd be a great CIO. Come over here and talk.
Well, it's actually sort of a natural evolution. Again, my entire career has been about understanding network security from a practitioner's point of view, as well as developing unique capabilities for NSA, largely on the mission side, and integrating those with the enterprise infrastructure. So I've sort of worked all around the CIO role throughout my career. But the primary reason the NSA leadership asked me to take on this responsibility is that I have a very deep understanding of what sophisticated adversaries are capable of doing and how to frustrate them, because I've spent most of my career in the foreign intelligence mission executing the sort of operations that we're trying to frustrate.
Very cool. It's nice to find someone who can maybe get ahead of the pack instead of always playing reactive. So talk a little bit about being so long in that mission area. How does that kind of shape your philosophy as being the CIO, managing IT more broadly than just cybersecurity?
The mission side of NSA also develops systems, also operates systems in a variety of locations around the world. So the CIO role is actually sort of an umbrella responsibility that covers both the sort of standard enterprise IT and communications that most people think about as being associated with the role, together with these very unique mission systems that NSA builds. And the catch as the CIO is to bring all of that together in a coherent way. So at NSA, capability development, deployment, and operations are a team sport. There's a variety of government civilians, military personnel, industry partners involved. We're working in a variety of locations in diverse technical environments. Again, we have a variety of different types of systems. And we're working together to achieve mission outcomes for NSA, for all of NSA's missions, the foreign intelligence mission, the information assurance mission, NSA's cybersecurity mission. So as CIO, my role is to ensure that everything that's owned and operated by NSA is designed, built, maintained, operated, secured, and defended as an integrated enterprise.
Well, it's interesting because one of the things about this understanding the mission, coming from the mission side, being, you know, knee deep in the mission, is it helps you from a CIO's perspective to say what can be and what can't be done. And it helps you say, well, this technology, whatever it is, may be great, but can it really help the mission? And I don't see it. So your relationships with the mission folks also helps you drive your needs. Talk a little bit about how you were working with that mission side. Do you have you set up, for instance, some governance structure, some kind of like integrated product review council? Talk a little bit about that.
Because development is a team sport and we have a variety of missions, of course, there are a variety of different governance constructs that we have in place to ensure that we really understand the requirements of the mission, and frankly, not only requirements in terms of new capabilities, but even as we're managing the system, like any service provider, we need to make sure that we're not disrupting NSA support to some time-sensitive activity, you know, whether it's a military operation or whether it's some sort of a larger defensive effort. So part of this is a constant orchestration role, a constant conversation with the people who are running the mission elements together with those who are trying to maintain and upgrade our systems to make sure that we have sort of a seamless flow of technology in and out, that as we're doing the technology upgrades, we're advancing the mission and not, frankly, getting in the way of the mission. So the variety of different constructs we have in place, it's actually fairly complicated because, as I said earlier, it's not one organization that's actually doing the development. It's a variety of organizations doing development in a variety of locations and a variety of mission elements in various locations around the world that are all coordinating on sort of a 24/7 basis. So our governance construct is actually fairly complicated.
One of the things that stands out is that there's been a big push around the government around something called shadow IT. And one of the things that stands out is when you talk about development happening across different organizations at different locations. Does that all basically, though, come back to you in some way? So you do have that, I'll use the word oversight responsibilities. You are the belly button that the NSA director pushes if something from a technology perspective, you know, needs to get done or hasn't getting done or is getting done?
The short answer is yes, I am that belly button for the director, and that's part of the conversation that we had when I became the CIO. NSA is sort of an interesting organization because our whole business is about communications and network security. So we have experts in those areas and developers all over NSA. So part of this is orchestrating those elements to do something coherent. So the CIO role, again, is to be that belly button. The primary role is to make sure, again, that those mission capabilities are integrated with standard IT, and that we're not only integrated with NSA, but we're integrated with the rest of the intelligence community the way we need to be, and that all of that knowledge that I talked about that NSA has about communications and security is integrated into not only building our mission capabilities and our enterprise capabilities, but also used in the defense of NSA, because we have a lot of unique defensive knowledge, right? So it is very much an orchestration role. I have certainly some approval authorities and a lot of influence over things, and we're part of what we're doing right now as part of the ongoing evolution of NSA is tightening up those governance rules to make sure that we are optimizing the enterprise. We're not just optimizing pieces. And again, given the complexity of what we do and given the complexity of our mission and our systems, that's a bit of a challenge.
You brought up the idea of not just within the NSA, but really across the intelligence community. And I know we'll get to eventually talk about EyeSight and NSA's big role there. But before I go there, so it sounds to me like you are very much entrenched in the strategy side of the CIO's role versus the operation side, but you seem to also come from an operation side. So where do you see yourself? Do you work in both places, or do you have more of your feet, more of your body in the strategy side?
We've been talking mostly about the strategy side of things, but I have a role in both camps. So I actually have a second responsibility in addition to being the CIO. NSA, that CIO role, focuses more on the strategy and the integration pieces. My other role is the director of the technology directorate at NSA, which is actually developing and operating the primary enterprise services and the backbones of NSA's capabilities. So I'm very much involved in the operational side of things as well as the strategy side of things on a 24/7 basis. I just don't have responsibility for directly operating all of NSA's capabilities, but the majority of them I do.
And you probably don't get a lot of sleep either. If you're getting both operations and strategy, you got a lot of job there, don't you?
Well, fortunately, I have a lot of great people who work for me in a lot of locations, so we can follow the sun to some extent.
Very nice, very nice. Well, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to jump into some older priorities from the last time I had the NSA CIO on my show. But first, my guest today is Greg Smithberger, the current CIO of the National Security Agency. I'm your host, Jason Miller, and you're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm your host, Jason Miller. My guest today is Greg Smithberger, the National Security Agency's Chief Information Officer. Now, Greg, before break, we're talking a lot about your role as the NSA CIO, the two hats you wear. Let's jump into some older priorities. I had the NSA CIO back on my show in 2011, and there was a lot of things going on at that time. One big one was an internal effort around software development, improving the model to do that. Just talk about where that priority is today and what kind of benefits is NSA seeing?
I think we referred to that effort at the time as the NSA way, but that was really about bringing industry best practices for software development and system deployment into NSA and making our development processes more responsive and agile without sacrificing reliability. Our emphasis on making sure we are compliant with all the laws and policies that we need to be compliant with, and also making sure we have the right security. So agility with security and compliance is sort of the model we were after. That's actually been a very successful effort.
A lot of times people hear somebody doing internal software development and they kind of scratch their head and go, well, there's plenty of people outside of government to do this. I think NSA is one of those cases where you go, yes, but... Can you talk a little bit about that process in terms of bringing the agility and the security? How does that work together?
As far as the software development practices go, there really isn't anything unique there at NSA. The same sort of agile methodology that industry is using, we're using. When it comes to what we do, the challenge is ensuring that this very sensitive data that we have is handled in the right way to protect the privacy of private individuals. There are laws and policies that govern how we do that, and there are strict controls that we need to implement along the way. And also, with any sensitive activity, we need to enforce the need to know while still making data available to everyone who is authorized to see it. So that means we need to bake into our technology a lot of fine-grain access controls, a lot of fine-grain auditing and compliance mechanisms. Those are more the unique aspects of working in the intelligence community.
And of course, when you talk about access control, you're also talking about the idea of roles and responsibilities in terms of, okay, you know, does Greg Smithberger have the right to see this? Yes. But can he change it? No. Or yes. That all plays into those decision-making, and it has to be built in the front end. Because as we've heard time and again, if you try to bolt it on the back end, it just is not as successful.
Yes, of course we need to include all of those things, but there are other things as well. Need to know isn't just I have a top secret security clearance. It's the I have a need to know things about specific intelligence activities and access to very specific sources of information. So it's the equivalent of building a system where you and I could do the same Google search on a database, and what we would see would be very different results based on what we were entitled to see or not. So it's a very different sort of security and information sharing challenge.
And I think it's fascinating. I think it's one of the things that a lot of agencies are trying to get toward. But if you guys are able to do that in your own special way, of course, that is a huge plus, because what we've seen with, for instance, the cyber sprint from OMB, which I know is a whole different discussion point, but the two-factor authentication piece was so important, and I think the next step they're going is down that path. Speaking of the next steps, let's talk about the EyeSight program. You kind of referenced it a little bit earlier today in the show. This is a huge program across the entire intelligence community. You're partnering with the CIA to build a common cloud platform. Talk a little bit about your role and what's the status of the common cloud platform.
NSA and CIA are actually building several different types of cloud offerings to provide common services for the entire U.S. intelligence community, but in a high-security environment. So a lot of this is leveraging that very unique security technology that I was talking about earlier. So together, we are providing a shared utility computing cloud. This is very similar to the sort of commercial cloud offering that everyone's familiar with, but in this case, we're offering it inside our very secure environment. We're also providing a shared data storage cloud for the intelligence community that allows us to integrate data from across the community while still maintaining that very fine-grain access control that I mentioned. earlier and enforcing that need to know. And that's really based on a lot of that unique technology that was developed here at NSA that I was referencing earlier. And then we're also providing shared computing resources for the community that allows people across the community to run data analytics on that shared data repository, again, while still ensuring that users only see the data that they are personally authorized to see. We're working with some key industry partners to leverage the best of what is commercially available, but we are also leveraging security and processing technology that we created here at NSA.
Let me go back one and start with the cloud offerings, the shared utility cloud computing. I think that's the one, and correct me if I'm wrong, that is further ahead. And is that right?
No, actually, they're all equally progressing. So the utility computing, there's an offering that CIA is providing in collaboration with its industry partners. And then there's also an NSA utility computing cloud offering that we are offering together with our commercial partners. That's operational today. The shared data storage cloud that NSA is providing is operational today and continuing to evolve. And those shared computing resources for doing data analytics exist today, and we're scaling those out. But the Director of National Intelligence has an objective to go beyond the sort of initial foundational capabilities that we have today to really getting capabilities delivered to the analysts that allow them to collaborate across sites and across data sets collected by various agencies in a more intimate way on a routine basis. There are good initial experiments there, but the next wave of this is really making that real to more analysts in their day-to-day lives across the community. But all of this has initial or fairly advanced operational capability today.
And that kind of answers my next question, but what's the use? Are you seeing it growing every month, every week, I'm sure, but how much is it being used across the intelligence community, these three separate but maybe equal in some ways of capabilities?
The rate of adoption is different at different agencies. So certainly the shared data storage cloud and the resources for analytics that NSA is providing are using very aggressively internal to NSA today. Others in the community are kind of working those into their processes a little further behind because, frankly, we had a head start since we developed that internally. Similarly, the utility cloud computing offerings that are coming from CIA was using it internally before they offered them to the community. So, again, they have a head start. So all of these things are more mature in some agencies than in others. I think that's just the nature of any sort of large endeavor like this that's integrating disparate systems across agencies.
And I think, of course, that a lot of the intelligence community agencies have to move to it over time. I don't think Director Clapper had any kind of thought that, everyone would drop something and move forward. But you're seeing an increase, you're seeing more people use it, and you're seeing the benefits. And I think that's the key is to get that enterprise view. This approach obviously is successful, right?
It is successful, but we have a ways to go to sort of realize the DNI's full vision for the fully collaborative joint environment for the intelligence community. And frankly, it has other components in addition to the cloud components.
That's actually a perfect time to take a break because when we come back, we're going to talk about some of those other components and see how NSA is doing with adopting other pieces of eyesight. In the meantime, my guest today is Greg Smithberger, the CIO at the National Security Agency. I'm your host, Jason Miller, and you're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm your host, Jason Miller. My guest today is Greg Smithberger, the Chief Information Officer at the National Security Agency. Greg, before break, we're talking about eyesight and the role that the NSA and the CIA are playing around cloud computing. Let's talk about some other pieces and parts of eyesight. It's a huge integration initiative. There's the shared desktop environment, and then there's a lot more. Talk about the shared desktop environment first, and then take us through some other pieces and parts of the eyesight program.
The shared desktop environment is actually being championed by the Defense Intelligence Agency and the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency. So they're actually the first ones to adopt that was going to be a shared desktop for the intelligence community. They have thousands of users using that capability today and really kind of ringing it out. They certainly learned some lessons from the virtual desktop environment that we created here at NSA, but it's a slightly different offering, and they're really leading the charge on that. So NSA is going to be adopting that as we move to our next generation desktop, and that'll probably be within the next couple of years. We'll be starting to experiment in the near term.
When you talk about the VDI environment that you guys have, how does that relate back to the shared desktop? Are they similar but different? Because obviously this was created outside of NSA, but it's the same concepts?
It's really the same concepts, and they had access to our solution, and they have certainly adopted aspects of that, and they've also looked at alternatives in some areas. So it's the same philosophical approach. Some of the details of the implementation are slightly different.
And do you have a sense yet about how much that will impact NSA? I know you said it's a few years out, so maybe you haven't begun that business analysis or technology analysis yet.
We've actually started that analysis. Their solution is similar enough to ours that we don't think it's going to be that painful to integrate it into our basic desktop environment here, for certainly not for office administration and sort of standard user functionality. We may need to do some unique things for our the mission side of our architecture, but we're still examining that.
In terms of the timing, I know you said it's a couple of years out. Part of that reason is just part of the regular refresh cycle that NSA goes through?
Yes, we are going through a normal refresh cycle. We're actually preparing for a new contracting round. We're going to be doing some adoption of that common desktop, that DTE desktop, between now and when we do the major refresh, so we'll have a few thousand users on it, but we won't really do a major rollover until we actually do that complete refresh.
And as far as that refresh goes, I don't know how much of it's sensitive, so you'll forgive me, but is there anything you can talk to in terms of the timing, what kind of contracts, is there any details?
The basic information about the procurement, I think, is rolling out now, to be honest. And I think the sort of preliminary proposals is what we're soliciting at this point. And then it'll take, we'll probably complete that contracting cycle within the next year or two, depending on how rapidly we find what we're looking for.
I'm getting from the way you answered that seems to be there's probably some sensitivities there. Maybe this is a classified RFP.
Well, there are classified aspects to this. The fact that we're doing the RFP is out there is not classified. But there are certainly sensitive aspects to this, and that's part of what takes some time, is working our way through all those complexities.
Okay. Well, I'm sure the vendors who are very interested in this already have bothered you many times. So let's talk about other parts of iSight. As you said, it's the standard desktop, it's the cloud. What other pieces and parts are coming into place?
So there are a total of 9 iSight services. So the sort of cloud offerings that we've talked about are part of that. There are common identity and authorization and entitlement services. There are some common network administration and network management services. There are some common sort of cross-community security services that are being provided, as well as the desktop. So a lot of the capabilities are, I would say, sort of foundational to all the others working correctly in the sort of secure environment that we need. And NSA is a service provider for 5 of those common IT services, and we're a customer for the other 4.
As far as the adoption rate, again, this ties back to the earlier part of our conversation, the refresh cycle. As you refresh, that's when you'll bring new things in?
Many of these more foundational capabilities are already built into the cloud offerings that we discussed. Certainly the identity and authorization, authentication services are built into that DTE common desktop. So it's sort of we build up from the lower layers of the stack, and we're moving our way toward user analytic tool, toward the application.
And then from a benefits already, are you guys starting to see some cost savings, some efficiency improvements?
We're certainly seeing some efficiency improvements. We're seeing some agility improvements. It's a little early to see all the cost savings because we're all in a transition state. And the beautiful thing about transitioning is you still need to keep some of the legacy going while you're adopting the new. We are optimistic that there will be more efficiencies and cost savings moving forward, but we're still working our way through that.
And from a legacy perspective, and I know this, again, this maybe gets into some sensitivities, but are you guys better off than many other agencies that have a lot of legacy and haven't modernized? Or how would you kind of rate yourselves, maybe not compared to others, but just generally speaking?
Some of this sort of unique cloud technology that we're offering to the intelligence community we've had within NSA for a few years now, so we're a little further along in terms of transitioning our internal capabilities to that environment. But frankly, we're still working our way through many of those transitions ourselves. It's a pretty complex process to take these exotic workflows that we've developed and data flows that we've developed in partnership with many people outside of NSA as well as inside NSA in a variety of locations, and moving them over into a completely new architecture while still maintaining the security we talked about and also still maintaining all of those things we're required to do for compliance with the U.S. laws and policies. So it's a careful process to sort of basically transition to a new airplane in flight, because our mission is a 24/7 mission around the world. We have military operations dependent upon us. We have certainly many functions of the executive branch that are dependent upon us in day-to-day life, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So we have to be thoughtful about how we do this to minimize disruptions. We don't have off hours and off days. That's not the nature of our business.
Your analogy of, you know, transitioning to the new airplane while in flight is a common one we hear across the government. I mean, it's tough because you're right. You can't turn things off. You can't just say, well, we'll take this down for an hour or two or a day or two, because there's a lot of people depending on you, both internally but also externally. So it's probably one of the tougher parts of a CIO's job, I can only imagine.
Let's put it that way.
Well, I hope so, because if it's not interesting, then, you know, we don't want boring jobs. We spent a lot of time talking about EyeSight. Let's talk about some other priorities outside of EyeSight, if there are any. What are you trying to get done over the next 6 or 9 months?
We've already started that conversation about transitioning our legacy systems over to our modernized infrastructure internal to NSA, as well as integrating as many of those as we possibly can with EyeSight and the rest of the community. That's a big push for us. Another big push is, you know, keeping our own network security state of the art, leveraging all of NSA's expertise, all of NSA's knowledge to do that. And certainly we continue to sort of press the state of the art and how NSA uses big data technology internally. We use that technology in very focused ways for our foreign intelligence mission and also for our security, internal security mission, but we're constantly experimenting with how to use big data analytics in focused and precise ways, while still, you know, maintaining fine grain security. That's been a fun area of adaptation for quite some time now, and I think the other thing that we're doing as a major initiative is thinking deeply about how we can take advantage of mobility inside our sensitive networks without compromising security. And that's a really fun exercise.
Let's take a quick break. We come back. Let's dive into them a little deeper. My guest today is Greg Smithberger, the National Security Agency Chief Information Officer. I'm your host, Jason Miller, and you're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm your host, Jason Miller. My guest today is Greg Smithberger, the Chief Information Officer at the National Security Agency. Now, Greg, before break, you went through a list of priorities, stuff you're working on that's outside of the EyeSight program, which is a huge, huge priority across the entire intelligence community. One of them is big data, you mentioned, and I think it's interesting because the use of big data is just growing across the entire government. What are you guys looking to do with big data, and are there tools, are there technologies? How are you using big data differently?
NSA is using the same technology that is used by industry to process big data, as well as some technology we've developed ourselves. But we have sort of an interesting twist on this. You know, our foreign intelligence mission, our signals intelligence mission, is really done in a pretty focused way. So the challenge is to use the same sort of technology, but to use it in a focused way and still to ensure that what we're doing is you know, consistent with the protection of privacy rights. So we have to sort of tune and adapt the technology to really fit within the way we conduct our mission. So part of what we're doing is that, and then part of it is applying those methodologies, that you know, adapted technology to the various missions that we have. So obviously, as part of our foreign intelligence mission, we have access to a lot of information that we need to efficiently and effectively go through. So, using this technology as a force multiplier for our analysts to make them, to ensure that they're spending their time on what's most productive is part of what we're doing. We're using the same technology to help us to identify malicious cyber activity that we can see through our various sources, and then to provide real-time alerts to the various elements of the U.S. government and who both have a cyber defense mission as well as those who are potentially victims. And through FBI and DHS and others, we're also getting information about those threats out to others of, whether it's in critical industry players, critical infrastructure players around the United States, some of our key allies. So we're gaining insights into what cyber adversaries are doing, and we're trying to get that information out in real time. We're leveraging a lot of this technology for that to help us with that automation piece. And again, helping us to understand things at cyber speed. We're also using this same sort of technology to help us with our internal security. You know, all of us, implement lots of, firewalls and intrusion detection systems and implement logging all over the place. The challenge is, consuming and analyzing that data to understand what's going on in your network and to counter it as it's going on, not just to do cleanup on aisle 9 afterwards and to use this security-relevant information for forensics. So we are we're using a lot of our own, cloud technology on the logs and outputs of our security-relevant devices to help us to understand what's going on in real time and to help us react. And we're doing that internal to NSA's networks, but NSA is also working with others in the U.S. government, other close partners, to try to, as part of our information assurance and cyber defense missions, trying to propagate those methodologies and technologies and insights out to others to improve overall U.S. government and allied security.
As the Cyber Threat Intelligence Center gets stood up, the new CTIC, as they're calling it, that's something that NSA will play a bit of a role in, too. As you talked about, using big data to look for cyber threats, to look at logs, to look at understand in real time and help us react. Is that part of the broader discussion?
That's absolutely part of the broader discussion. And the NSA Threat Operations Center is really our focal point for interacting with the CTIC, FBI, DHS, and others to help promote broader, active network defense.
And that idea of active network defense, specifically because of the OPM breach, but I think more broadly because of so many breaches and the threats increasing, I imagine from your perspective, not only is that a 24/7, 365 job, but it's probably the pace has really grown probably over the last year or more.
It is absolutely an expanding mission. Anything that's happening at cyber speed is always a challenge to keep up with, but frankly, we've been in a real-time mission for many, many years, so our technology, our operational constructs actually map pretty well to that space. The catch is, again, integrating with all of our other partners so that we have a collective understanding of what we're trying to deal with, and we are sharing as best we can the ways to mitigate that in real time. So clearly, there's a growing awareness in the U.S. government and certainly in industry as well of the nature of the threats and the severity of the threat and the implications of not getting network security right, even on the bottom line of companies, it's much more of a there's much more of a bottom line impact associated with not getting that right today than I think there was perceived to be a few years ago. And certainly within the U.S. government, even less sensitive networks sometimes have, you know, privacy-relevant information that's really important to protect to avoid identity theft, et cetera. And the criticality of getting that right, I think, has been brought home to everyone as a result of the OPM breaches, et cetera. So I think, you know, there's a growing awareness. There's certainly the flip side of that is those involved in malicious cyber activity have also figured out ways to make money out of their endeavors. So there's various nations are also seeing the value of doing things in the cyber domain. So I think as an active space for defense, it's a more challenging environment. The pace of change is very rapid because so many players are seeing, you know, value for whatever it is they're trying to achieve in making mischief in this space. So the onus is in all of us on the defensive side to up our game and to react as quickly as the malicious actors do. Again, something that will always keep us busy, and we won't be bored.
One of the things, you talked a lot about cybersecurity there, and you talked about the partnerships with DHS, FBI, the CTIC is just a few examples. This is National Cybersecurity Awareness Month here in October. NSA plays a big role outside just of giving threat information. There's a training piece. There's working with other agencies. From your perspective as CIO, how do you get involved in that other side or the external efforts of cybersecurity with the rest of the government or with industry?
So internal to NSA, we have an Information Assurance Directorate that has as its mission, you know, securing the national security systems of the U.S. government, okay, at all classification levels, those that are national security relevant systems. So their entire mission in life is providing security standards and advice to various elements of the U.S. government. The NSA Threat Operations Center, which is another parallel organization to mine, has as its responsibility understanding what those cyber threats are and working with the U.S. government and our other industry partners to act on that information. Internal to NSA, my organization, the CIO organization, the Technology Directorate, works with the Information Assurance Directorate and with NTOC to come up with new concepts for how to do network defense, but that information, that knowledge is actually passed to others through the Information Assurance Directorate or NTOC. Our role is more protect NSA because we have explicit organizations at NSA that have the mission of promoting broader cybersecurity for the U.S. and the U.S. government in particular.
The agencies can thank you kind of secondhand when the NTOC or when the Information Assurance Directorate gives them a new piece of software, a new approach. That's the flow of the information in some ways.
I'd actually say it flows both ways because there are a lot of, you know, engineers and computer scientists and mathematicians in the Information Assurance Directorate, in NTOC. Even our Foreign Signals Intelligence Mission has a lot of talent that discovers security-relevant things. So we're all sort of teaming all the time. We're all learning from each other. We're all bonusing off of that. That's frankly the advantage of having all of those pieces at NSA is that we can all bonus off of each other.
And without a doubt, that shows just that you've heard this many times, but that shows that cybersecurity is definitely that team sport that we talk about. We are almost out of time. Before I let you go, I do want to catch up with you about vendors. I know they listen to my show and are always interested in how to approach a CIO, how to work with your office. What should they know? You mentioned a potentially big refresh contract that's in the works. Talk a little bit about how you want contractors to deal with your office.
For those contractors who are trying to work with NSA, my advice really is that they go to our website, nsa.gov, and on that website is information about registering for NSA's Acquisition Resource Center. And that's a great way to get insight into all of the contracts that we're letting, all the procurements we're doing. It all kind of goes through that sort of central avenue. But that's the place to get registered to gain access to that information, both the unclassified activities where there are opportunities, as well as the more sensitive activities where there are opportunities. So for vendors who already don't have an avenue, that's the best one. Go to NSA.gov, learn how to register for the ARC, and then our acquisition people will make the contacts and help to facilitate information flow.
All right. Always excellent advice. People always appreciate to understand what you're looking for them to do. Unfortunately, we are out of time. This was a very fascinating conversation and tons of stuff going on at NSA. My guest today was Greg Smithberger, the National Security Agency's Chief Information Officer. I'm your host, Jason Miller, and you've been listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Greg, thank you so much for taking the time today.
It's been my pleasure.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, Ask the CIO, Thursday mornings at 10:30, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.